Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everybody, to this 29th of July, the last July show in 2018. And this is another interesting episode of An Emerging Forest. And to give out the numbers right away, this is a call-in show. And that means call in and talk about the subject or talk about what you want to talk about. The number to call in is 646-564-9714. And in the past week, I talked to a couple of new folks in my produce club and sort of realized that I didn't have a place or didn't have a vehicle where I had gathered all of these, the basic story together of all these health-related or mind-related things to do with food. And if I had done so, I probably updated some of my thinking about those things recently. So I wanted to give an episode where I talked about those things. And also, I didn't have a guest tonight, so I had to think of something. So let's start out with the Universal Spiritual Unity Radio Network caveat, which is the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. And I echo that, and I completely believe that. And in what follows in the program that follows, I'm going to be talking about how I view things and how I view things in from a priority or how I view things. And I might use words like better, or I might use words like this results in this or that results in something else. I'm not making a judgment. And I believe that whatever journey you're on and wherever you are right now is the absolute best place for you. You have achieved your location. You have achieved your configuration with a lot of work, and that work is all to bring you experience. That experience is very needed for you, just like my experience is very needed for me. So we are all souls, gathering experience by having a vehicle, this person, this body that we inhabit in a world that we manifest to have an experience through interaction. So that's what we're doing. We're building a pool of experience for an unknown reason. but it is to build something. So we're creating something, we're building something, and we don't waste any time. So every single bit of time that we perceive that we're in, we're gaining experience in something that we need to have. So my overall perspective is, I would say, amoral, as in, if I need an experience, I'll have it, and I can't get tied up in, you know, calling myself names. I had an experience. I needed to have that experience. It's time to move on. So within each person's experience, they're having the experience that they need. So let's move way, way far back from the little itty-bitty teeny microscope that's on one particular person's experience and talk about generalizations. And I'm going to talk about generalizations tonight having to do with food, because there's a lot of things that I think are simple, but it's because I've actually thought about them for a long time, and I've been exposed to thinking about this for the last 13 years. Prior to that, I was just a quote-unquote salaryman doing his thing, not thinking about very much of anything, just, you know, hamster on a hamster wheel. And then I started to actually think about things. I started to be conscious. I started to say, hey, what does this mean? How does this work? So along in that education, I started to understand that there's the standard picture of how we are told where our disease came from, where your cancer came from, where your kidney stones came from. And it's sort of came from your parents. There isn't anything you can do about it. Diet doesn't have anything to do with it. Just look at your mom and your dad, and that's how you're going to end up. Just give it up. You know, one of these days when you're 45 or when you're 55, you're going to go to your annual health checkup, and the doctor's going to come out, and he's going to say, well, Jim, or well, Sarah, I have some bad news for you, but it's all to do with your parents, and it's not to do with anything else. So we were basically looking around saying, well, gee, it's, you know, going to happen sooner or later. I'm going to get the news about my gut sooner or later. But in my journey, I found out that there's a different story. And the different story I like to make an analogy to. So I like to make an analogy to a trash can. And as you put foods that are not the best for the human physiology into the trash can, the level of waste in the trash can of various types builds up. Most Americans are eating way too much protein, so predominant, or one of the predominant poisonings that is found is nitrogen poisoning. Like your kidney stones, that's your cancer, you have your liver problems, you have your gout, and all those things. So from an overall poisoning perspective, you're poisoning yourself and you're filling the trash can up. Now, you can easily change your course and start to empty the trash can, and that would be by changing what you put in your mouth. So where the heredity comes into it, and you can get confused if you're not told this simple picture of putting stuff in the trash can and taking stuff out of the trash can, is there's you inside the trash can. And you are a particular individual who has inherited various DNA predispositions from your parents, from your ancestors. Okay. So when the trash can fills up to a particular level and hits a trigger, on your particular DNA, you're going to get symptom A. And the doctor is going to say, oh, that's due to your parents, not due to diet. And you just don't have any hope in the world. Just keep on eating the way you were eating. Nothing can change this. We're going to put you on these meds. You're going to be on them for the rest of your life. It's all your parents' fault. And we're like, well, Jay, I was screwed by my parents. What the hell? Okay. So we have we have one analogy where you can't do anything about it, walking towards your death, nothing can be done. And we have another analogy, which is the waste can analogy, which basically says there are certain foods and there are certain ways of eating that either fill the trash can or empty the trash can. So if you're eating burgers and fries and mashed potatoes and big, large, honking pieces of meat, like I did when I was a young man, like I did with my family, you're filling the trash can. You're eating two substances, a piece of meat and a big starchy object that can't be in the stomach at the same time, don't digest as partners in the stomach very well, because the stomach is pretty much one thing at a time. Hey, you know, don't eat the I have strategy A for that piece of meat and strategy B for that big potato. And I'd rather not have either one inside of me, but put both of them inside of me at the same time. It's a train wreck because I don't have a strategy for both in my stomach at the same time. So I'm not saying that I'm judging people who eat a particular way. They need to have that experience and get to the end of that line and maybe have it, that experience again and again and again. What I'm doing is I'm basically saying, here's the overall playing field. You might be playing in the meat and potatoes area. Please, you know, go ahead. That's fine. Other people might be playing in the bananas and greens area, in which they avoid having too much protein in their life. They avoid that irritant. And they also avoid all of the waste products that cooked food brings into your life. So there's choices. None of the choices are wrong. All of the choices are fine. But that sort of ends my first little story on the simplicity of getting over cancer in almost all cases is just stopping what you're eating and eating something that's more closer to the design of what your body wants. Because the cancer cells are saving your life. They are your cell. They are a different form of your regular cells. Your regular cell says, hey, in my white blood cell form, I'm not doing exactly the job that's needed here. What is the form that's needed in order to take care of this problem? Oh, the form that's needed is cancer cell. So the cell gives up its form. Little, you know, dot brain of the cell gives up the white blood cell form and becomes a cancer cell. And then many of them grow in order to save your life, in order to encase whatever the problem is, in order to alter your blood pH and so that it stays normal, in order to put these things off to the side. So there's our first two ideas. Our first idea is the waste can analogy. You can do something about these diseases that Western medicine says, oh, just throw up your hands. It's all your parents' fault. No, don't throw up your hands. Dig a little bit deeper and find out a little bit more information. The second idea is cancer is not an enemy. Cancer is your own cells saving your life, just like almost all bacterial infections are your own body in a different form trying to deal with probably something you ate or something like that. So the next topic I'd like to talk about is food quality. So food quality, and I guess I'll start with understanding commercial agriculturally produced produce is in two main categories. The main categories are conventional and organic produce. And in some very, very small number of cases, incredibly small, less than 1% of all produce produced that's organic, less than 1% of all the organic produce produced everywhere is not sprayed. Most of it is sprayed. It is called, there is a legal term that is grown, and those crops on agribusiness farms is allowed to be sprayed by substances that are on the national list, that are substances that are allowed to be sprayed on crops that are TM, legal phrase, attorney created, organically grown. So that's what that means. Our body's immune system is a direct result of what you eat. So if you eat sickly plants that are grown in crap soil that need to have all these crutches of things sprayed on them, otherwise mother's little priests of fitness checking, all the fungi and the weeds, would knock those suckers right down and you'd never get to eat them because they are weak, sickly imitations of real plants. Things are the things that we eat every day, and our immune systems are weak and sickly things as a result. Most people just look at me and say, what do you mean organic is sprayed? It is sprayed. It is a weak, I mean, the same ground is used for both things, except there's a 3-year waiting period after you get done with your conventional crop before you can have your crop area known as USDA organically grown. Still sprayed with neurotoxins. It's just on the national list of 50 substances or however many substances it is today that can be sprayed and called organically grown. You go to a farmer's market and you're buying something that's called organic, you can talk to the farmer and you can say to the farmer, is this organically grown? And he might say yes. And you say, well, I kind of understand that. Are you using one of the substances that's on the national list that's allowed to be sprayed? And he might say, no, I actually have a relationship with my land, and I don't spray anything. Or he might say that, yes, in fact, he does use substances that are on the national list. Or he might waffle and say he uses integrated pest management, which is basically spray when you see bugs. But what you want to do is you want to get to know your farmer and get to know, okay, is this person actually someone who is delivering to you a crop that is beyond organic? What do I mean by that? There are farmers in the United States, very, very few farmers. They are all small farmers because the larger agribusinesses have liability in stockholders and have to spray because of, you know, you're the farmer and you say, well, gee, guys, no, I didn't spray. We lost all the crop. You know, okay, how many times is he going to get sued? So they all spray. But there are some smaller concerns. There are some local farms that don't spray. There are some farms that are referred to in the publication for natural process farming called Acres USA. One of the ones in the Collingswood area that actually does bring its the fruits and veggies of its crop to the Collingswood farmers market is Muff. They had a partnership with Dan Lynn and Dan Lin is actually ceding their space to Musk because the partnership of Dan Lin is getting on a bit in age, and they're going to cut back. So they're actually phasing in Musk and phasing themselves out as they move along in their life. In California, there's a very famous natural process farm that, and I forget the restaurant that they do business with, but they do business with, I believe, Alice Walker's Chez Panisse in Berkeley, and the name of the farmer is Bob Kennard. And when I learned about Bob Kennard and watched his videos on YouTube, and I strongly suggest you watch them as well, his name is B-O-B-C-A-N-N-A-R-D. What he taught me was you can actually farm without spraying. Now, it's not a novel consideration because many of us have had backyard farms and we didn't spray and stuff grew up and it tasted really nice. But what he actually does is he inoculates the soil and recovers the soil, re-inoculates it using composts from up in the mountains and from under logs, and makes a big compost tea and brings back the vitality that's been lost due to industrial turnover of the land and destruction of the land. So that is what you eat is directly used by your body to create your immune system. So if we have this concern about the plants that we eat, where does our body end? Where does our concern for our body end? Well, our body no longer ends where we thought our body ended, right? Our body ends where the plants drink from. And where do those plants drink from? They drink from everywhere. So it begins to ask questions like what part of the world and how it does business is of concern to you. And it starts to widen the scope of what you're concerned with. Because where do the plants that you put into your mouth breathe from? Where do they all come from? I mean, if you're eating bananas, you're eating food from Ecuador and you're eating food from Peru. You're eating food from Mexico. You're eating food from all over the place. And those plants were all breathing, and those plants were all in soil, and those plants are contributing to your immune system. So you're either politically concerned with how those plants are being raised, or you're accepting how they're being raised, and it doesn't matter to you. Either way, you're making a choice. You're making a choice as a laissez-faire or as a conqueror. The conqueror is basically someone saying, I am no longer willing to sit back and see myself have a crappy immune system. So someone in that position might go out and buy a whole bunch of land and have the tip-top best farm methods used to create the plants that they put into their body. That's one perspective. But then where do those plants breathe from? And that's another consideration. So there's sort of a stepwise understanding of, now that you know that your body doesn't end where you thought your body ended at, I mean, how you basically say, oh, I want to get the best immune system possible. Okay, that's a project. First thing you do, you basically take it in, you take it like you're walking up a ladder, you're climbing up a ladder. Say, okay, I'm going to switch. Oh, I can afford this. This is what I can afford. I'm going to switch as much of my produce eating to plants right away, conventional or organic. That's my first step. I'm going to switch almost everything, or as much as I can afford, I'm going to switch it all to plants. Doesn't matter whether it's conventional, doesn't matter whether it's organic. I'll explain to that. I'll explain that, why that is true in a little while. So the next step, you're basically saying, okay, how am I going to improve the plants that I'm eating? So you can say, well, I'm going to buy as much from this natural process farm as I possibly can afford, with a focus on greens, because greens are super valuable and super fragile. So that's where you should concentrate the small, high-priced burst that you're going to spend on greens. But then beyond that, is a big political game of buying property and then saying, well, gee, I eat bananas, I eat all these things from all over the place. Do I want to move to a different place and own thousands of acres there and raise all my food? What about the air? What about political the political situation in this country? Are they polluting the air? So it gets to be a large thing rather quickly. So that's the second topic that I wanted to cover, on the immune system of your body being affected by what you eat, bringing into the conversation ideas about the size of your body, the size of your body being a lot larger than you thought it was. So your actual body, the actual body that you could quote-unquote be in self-defense of, pardon me, is actually very sizable. So I talked for a moment about eating whole plants, regardless of whether they're conventional or organic, as a first step. What do I mean by that? Why would I want people to eat conventional produce? So there's an author who has written many books. He is someone who has introduced Bob Kennard in the Berkeley educational system in the course that he was teaching. His name is Michael Palin, and he talks about this. He is also in a bunch of videos on the internet, on YouTube, and one of the things that he talks about is industrial food. What do you mean by industrial food? Well, you go into a field, whether it's conventional or organic, and you pick an ear of corn, or you pick an apple off a tree, or you pick a mango, or you pick a banana. And although those are maybe hybridized foods and chosen, they still grow in the field. They're not GMO yet. So they're, quote-unquote, from Mother Nature, or from Mother Nature to a reasonable extent. Something that our body recognizes, something that still has all of the bells and whistles, if it's provided with an immune system that will pass all of Mother Nature's immune checks, all the fungi, all the weeds, all the pests, all the critters. Will basically say, this fruit passes with flying colors, you can eat this, instead of nip it in the bud and killing it. So each one of those quote-unquote natural products has a set of nutrients that it will pass to you. And modern science and medicine has a little story that it will tell you about how your physiology works. And they'll talk about vitamins, and they'll talk about minerals, and they'll talk about the energy system, and they'll talk about respiration. And of all of the compounds and all of the very many innumerable things that are in plants, modern medicine understands much less than 1% and has a story that, in my opinion, is mostly fiction and doesn't really hold up because they don't really go into very much. They don't basically say, you should be eating whole plants and you should not be eating this these boxed foods, because even if we enrich them, you're not getting what you need. Well, the reason they do that is because, for the same reason they give us immune-compromised plants, because they want immune-compromised, easily ruled people. And they want people that will generate funds for the GDP, even though it's a foolish GDP based on sickness. So I'm going to come back to this right after the break. Break time. And after the break, please do call in at 646-564-9714. But right now, I am digging for Darv the Bard, Green and Gray. See you after the break, everyone.
Came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor fell from grace. You want dominion over this place. The piper smiled I was lord of animals, the wild hunt I led, until your God came here and with his jealous hand, it was he who wanted dominion over this land. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began, neither black nor said if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh you tempt us, to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bow, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began, neither black nor white.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Welcome back. And I'd like to give that number out again for all you wild and crazy listeners to give me a call. My number is 646-564-9714. And in this second segment, gonna pick up right where we left off. So, the short-sightedness or the degeneration of society or the direction that society is going in is in the direction of decreasing fertility, decreasing options, decreasing things to do. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the program where I said And that's an option. There's a steerage guy up there in the cabin basically steering the ship in that direction, and a whole raft of people saying, this is great. We want to go in this direction. And that is a valid choice and a needed choice for their experience. Now, if someone were to stand up and say, no, I actually want to go in the other direction, I want to go to a more fertile place, there would be a conflict. And then basically there would be like wrestling going on. That's exactly how I see it. So, and neither one of those parties is in the wrong. Both of those parties are making a choice for what their soul needs. And neither one is an outlaw, neither one is a sinner. They are just both souls wishing to have an experience. Maybe even wishing to collide with another soul going in the other direction and have a wrestling match. Test out how well they wrestle. So let's look back into Whole Foods. Whole Foods is a plant that Mother Nature grew. And think about how many little bottles of white pills you can buy in the grocery store. And they say, well, if you eat this package of dead industrial food, which is something that Michael Pollan talks about, and you put all of these other bottles here, I've got one right here. It says vitamin D3 on it, and there's a bunch of little dead pills inside. Here's another one that says vitamin K with a bunch of little dead pills inside. I think there's one back there that says B12 on it, too. Are those the same as actually eating the real article in a real living plant? The answer, of course, is no. How many of all the ones that you need have actually been put in little bottles and are sold in stores? Very many of them. All of them, most of them, some of them, the answer is not very many of them, an incredibly small number that's actually roped in to tell a story that basically can entertain you to be able to put your faith in modern medicine that they actually know what they're talking about, which of course they don't. They do not know what they're talking about. None of these scientists know what they're talking about. I have a PhD in chemistry. I understand the issue. It's a bunch of BS. Yes, I went to school for 36 years of my life and only figured out in the last few that it is a con, it is an illusion, it is garbage. But it is garbage that some people like to make a choice to go out and learn. It's something that some people stick their head into for entire many, 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 many lifetimes. But don't look at the kid who won't get up and say the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, thumb your nose at him. Because I actually looked at a kid when I was in high school and thought, God, that guy's an idiot because his mom or whatever or his political views won't let him get up and, like, say the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm actually mature enough to say now, I wouldn't have my kid get up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And if I was that kid, and I understand what I understand now, I wouldn't be getting up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance or singing the Star Spangled worship of something unmentionable. So it is a journey. It is a journey towards simplicity. There is a concept in philosophy called Occam's razor. And if there's two explanations, the simple one is the right one. So there's this massive, unbelievable number of volumes of, you know, oh, you have this condition and that condition and this other condition, and it's just you, and it came from your parents' hereditary, and you'll never understand it because we don't have a solution for it. Or is it just a trash can analogy? Stop eating that stuff and eat something different. Now, Occam's razor applies to that. So Michael Pollan is someone who says, here's some industrialized food over here. Here's some minimally processed food like your pasta, and then here's some super-duper processed food like your stuff that can sit on the shelves for 35 years and still be somehow edible. It can sit in a bottle for 45 years and still provide nutrition. Didn't have the bugs have gotten to it way before then and disposed of it? No, it can sit on the shelf and actually be lip-smacking good when you open it half a century from now. No thank you. So there's another gentleman whose name is Michael Greger. He's very well known. He's an MD, and he gives a lecture about once every year called How Not to Die, G-R-E-G-E-R. And he's one of the people that says, convert your entire diet to whole plants, regardless of conventional or organic, as soon as possible, because of all the things that even are in conventional plants that you are missing from your diet that medicine does not understand that keep you alive. So that's why to convert your diet to whole plants as soon as possible, to limit and or eliminate industrial foods from your diet as soon as possible. Now let's move on to fiber. Fiber, as in you're staring at a white potato and on the same table you have a sweet potato. A white potato has just basically start going for it. There's some small amount of nutrition in there, but as far as a sweet potato has a huge amount of nutrition. Now both are cooked. Cooking is a problem. Cooking has more waste products in it. But as far as the choice between white potato and sweet potato also has an incredible amount of fiber to exercise your intestine, to give your body someplace to dump. Now, if you have a choice between a sweet potato and a couple of bananas, you might go with a couple of bananas because the bananas are going to have more raw, soluble fiber in them than your sweet potato. So I'm going to summarize what I talked about tonight because I've reached the end of what I wanted to talk about, and it's a good time to give a summary. The first thing is you're having an experience and you are where you are, and that's a good thing. Actually, it's the only thing for you. It is the perfect solution for what your soul needed next. It's where you should be. It is Hafiz saying the place that you are right now, God circled on a map for you. It is Rumi once again saying, out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field, and I'll meet you there. There is no duality, there is no suffering, there is no injury, there are no diseases, and there are no sins. There's where you are, and that's where you're supposed to be. So I don't disagree with anyone. I don't disagree with what they're doing. I just basically say, this is where I'm taking my ship, and if we have to wrestle, we'll have to wrestle. So the first thing I went over tonight, the first thing I talked about was the waste can analogy and how you are have hereditary predispositions that happen as you fill your waste can. And you can likewise get rid of those hereditary issues, but which opposes what modern medicine says, by just emptying your trash can, by changing what you put in your mouth. And then I talked about the immune system and how it's directly affected by what you eat. And then if your immune system is affected by what you eat, where does your body end? Your body doesn't end except where the plants were grown, and what do the plants breathe? So your body is actually much larger than you thought it was, and the political area that you are defending is actually incredibly much larger than you thought it was. The last thing that I talked about was industrial food, a concept introduced by Michael Pollan, and then switching your diet to whole produce instead of eating packaged foods that don't have even the things that are in conventional produce, which is an incredible amount of other factors that are not understood. And modern medicine already has its little story about how nutrition works, which is pretty hysterical. And that's a concept that you can watch on YouTube, talked about by a gentleman named Dr. Michael Greger, MD. And last, we talked about fiber. We talked about the difference between some whole plants, like white potatoes, are pretty empty compared to their another potato, namely a sweet potato. Talked about fiber, talked about raw versus cooked. And then we also talked about the fact that organic and conventional crops are both sprayed. Thank you so much for listening to this program. I will be posting it on YouTube. I might be breaking it apart into little vignettes about each one of the topics so that it isn't so long to listen to. My name is Alan Ritter, and I encourage everyone in the audience and everyone who ever listens to my program to go out and do what they're passionate about doing. Go out and do the next thing on your list. Go out and engage your real aims in life. Those are the things that you need to be doing next. I encourage people to take risks. I encourage people to get it done. I encourage people to follow the, even though I don't like corporations, follow the advice of Nike and just do it. Get it done. Get the thing that you're passionate about. Move on to the next thing you're passionate about. Reserve a portion of your day. Reserve a portion of your life. Grow an area in your life to exercise your passion. You may have to interact with the main society in order to survive, in order to get your money, but you need to create a temple in some portion of your life. Temple is a euphemism for time or a dedication to the things that you find attractive, passionate about. And I do not care what those things are. I advocate for you to figure out what you're here to do. And literally, there's no limit on any action that you should be taking. You should be doing what is what burns your, like, where you need to go is where you need to go. And I'm not the judge on that. You're the judge on that. You're the one with the pull to do something. Why did I talk about food tonight? Why am I so interested in food? Because food is something you can easily change, and food is something that I also have a small business in. I have a small produce business in the southeastern Pennsylvania, southern New Jersey area, sourcing very cost-effective whole plants from the Philadelphia Regional Produce Center and its wholesalers. That's why I talked about what I talked about tonight, because food is intensely political. Cost of food, functionality of food, understanding food, understanding the power of it to bring you to a different way of thinking, understanding the power of it to change the world, to make choices of what you partake in, to drive a market. That is the power of the consumer. That is the power of food. That is the power of government to lead you away from understanding basic physiology, basic how do humans work, to into this edifice where only high priests can understand it because you don't have the years of dedicated research. You must be crazy to think that you can understand the stuff that Linus Pauling could understand. He's a genius. No. Come on. You can't understand the waste can and just stop eating what you're eating and eat something different. You know, go figure out how the human body works a little better. But if you want the diabetes and then the complications, that's a valid choice. It literally is. You've got lots of time to have all these experiences, and you need to have all these experiences. So the main message of Spiritual Unity Radio Network is dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Manifestations, experiences are equally valid. That's why I'm not a moralist. That's why I am talking about my views. I'm talking about what I think. Then I can take a step back and I can show you or talk to you about how I see the playing field. And then I can zoom in and talk about various players on the playing field. Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank Harry and Robin for giving me this opportunity about a year and a half ago to have this radio program. I've connected so many people. It is just such a valuable part of my life, and it has allowed me, I don't look at life as being suffering, but I did have a pretty isolated childhood. If somebody wanted to scream sexual abuse, then there was sexual issues in my childhood that caused me to go inward. And I understand that. I understand that I am very socially repressed. That's who I am. That's my bliss. That's where my journey led me, place for me. But here I am, and I'm basically saying I need ways to consciously connect with people. This is one of the ways that I consciously connect with people. I have this outlet. I have this Spiritual Unity Radio Network program every week. I have 2 hours, or I have as many as 2 hours. And I believe I have connected a lot of people and brought a lot of communication to a lot of people. Allowed a lot of people to hear guests like Laurie Cagno, and guests like Dave Miller, and guests like Scott Lockhart, and many, many, many of my other guests who I never would have met without this outlet. Thank you all so much. And I really appreciate the opportunity. It is what my soul brought to me, a phone call directly from a LinkedIn conversation, 45-minute discussion, and then the offer from Terry. It was the timing. It was time for me to break out and go someplace that I hadn't been before. It will come to you. You'll go out and get it yourself. Thank you. This is the last July 2018 episode of An Emerging Forest. We talked about a few things about food tonight. Have a great evening, and I'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.